guys, welcome back to Teenagers Anchor. I'm your one and only host, Gabriel. If today is your first time, I want to welcome you, and I hope you subscribe to get new messages each and every week. Thank you. So last week, I had a conversation with Kate Shelby about caring for children with special needs, and I labeled that episode part one. The reason why I labeled it part one is because this week also I'm going to have similar conversation but with someone else. She's in the person of Jackie Bertolate. She is a chief editor at Hot Ohio magazine and also the founder of Ohio Fashion Week. She manages models and fashion designers and all those things. She herself, she's also a fashion designer as well. She also has a son with special need, just like Kate does. I want you to sit back and enjoy the interview.
I would like you to introduce yourself to everyone, like your name and a brief about yourself.
Okay. My name is Jackie Bertolette. I am the founder and editor-in-chief of Hot Ohio Magazine, which is Ohio's and USA's only high fashion publication. And I'm also the founder and executive producer of Ohio Fashion Week. And I manage models under Discovered Model Scouting and Management Group. And I'm a commercial photographer and a fashion designer.
Okay. So basically, you are almost doing more than one job, right?
Yeah, I cover all ends of fashion, really, yes.
Okay, so let's go a little back into your childhood. How was your childhood like? How was your upbringing?
I had a great upbringing, actually. I was very blessed. I was born in Northeast Ohio in the United States, and you know, I had a good family, middle class. Parents went to work daily, and we did our school and did the best we could. I moved up into college and got my degree in commercial photography, and then I ended up in fashion.
Okay. So, was fashion all that you wanted to do when you were growing up, or you just met it on the road? Like, you were always thinking of becoming a fashionista, like fashion model and all those things. Was that what you were thinking when you were little?
Yeah, it just came, it just kind of happened. I actually was going to be a child psychologist was my initial plan. But when I got into college, I found that I didn't really like it as much as I thought I would. And part of the way that I started to get through college to pay for it was I began modeling. And so that's kind of how I got introduced to the world of art. I didn't know that that was something you could do as a career. So after I started modeling, I got into the photography end, and then I switched my major and moved into commercial photography.
Okay, cool. And so actually, when I saw your profile, I saw that you said you are interested in talking to young people about self-esteem and all those things. So I want us to focus our discussion this in my place this evening. So I don't know whether the time it is in the place, but here is the evening. So I want us to focus it on self-esteem. I think that's okay with you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm sorry, you're breaking up a little. So if I delay, I apologize.
Okay, sure. No problem. Okay. So I want you to just briefly explain self-esteem according to your understanding.
Yes. Self-esteem to me is the ability to be happy with who you are, be comfortable in your own skin, and be proud of who you are, and to understand that you have a value in this society. That's what self-esteem stands for in my book.
Okay, sure. So I believe you are aware that almost out of every five young people, one of them is having a mental health issue.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's normal. It's kind of normal for every person who is suffering from mental health issue to have a low self-esteem.
Yes.
Okay. So My previous episodes I recorded, I did something on depression and suicide. So yeah, there are a lot of people who are also following up about what I'm doing. So this is me. Mm-hmm. Just tell them something, like the people who are, let's say, depressed or feeling suicidal, and they've listened to the suicide and depression episode. Now they all want mm-hmm. to listen to this self-esteem. I want you to tell them something. Mm-hmm. Tell them something.
Well, I did listen to your episode, and it was incredible, actually. It just brought light to the truth. I know that that is the truth, and it's very sad. And I'm trying to do a little something to sort of give back and save some of them, because it all starts from self-esteem. So to me, the most important thing is knowing that you have value, and if you feel like you don't matter, then you need to seek help or find someone who's willing to pump you up, whether it's a friend or a confidant, could even be someone in authority, whoever you need to confide in. You really need to talk to people so that you can find your strength and to carry on and to move forward, because every day is different. Today may be, you know, not so great, but tomorrow's going to be great.
Okay, sure. So I saw that you have a son with special needs.
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how is he doing?
So I actually have three children. Two are grown adults now, and my youngest is 12. When he was born, with a very serious condition, a brain infection, very rare and very, very deadly. After about 6 weeks in the hospital, he ended up being, you know, successful in his treatment, and they sent him home. Since then, he has been through many years of therapies and medications, and he now is, while he still has residual brain damage, he is 100% functional, and he's just a great little kid. He just has some issues with self-esteem. He has some issues with anger, and he has some issues with some learning disabilities. So that's why I stay home and teach him through homeschool now.
Okay. So how has the journey been so far for you? You know, having three children, you had two already, and the third one mm-hmm. is suffering from brain disorder. How was the experience like? How was the feeling? Even now, I'm sure that still you have some doubts in yourself. So how was the whole experience like?
Yes. It's, you know, I mean, I've been through a lot in my life. I'm not, you know, a teenager anymore. And some days I felt like, you know, that I'm not strong enough to get through whatever I was facing that day. But just, you know, it makes you stronger in the end. If you can make it through the evening and the night and wake up the next morning with a brighter outlook on things and a clearer perspective, I think that's really the key, is to be able to kind of take yourself out of the situation long enough to really look at it with a right perspective and not an emotional drive, because that's when you start making poor choices. So I just learned to get stronger and to move on. And no matter what happens, you know, my kids motivate me to stay here and keep trying. I don't always get it right.
it's very good. How was the support like from your family, your husband and your children, the older ones? How was the support like?
They are wonderful supports for me to be able to stay home. You know, they are old enough to have their own careers now and start in college. And so they're beginning to move out on their own and branch out and find out who they are. But over the years, they've been strong enough to help me stay home with him. And when I had trouble, because some of the school that they do now is different than the school when I was in school. So sometimes I had to go to them and say, can you help me teach him this? Because I don't even know what this is. So they were wonderful supports like that. And my husband has been an incredible support in that he has been able to sustain a household financially so that I can be home with my special needs son.
A lot of time, people who go through the experience you had, they get stigmatization from the community. How was your community like?
Mm-hmm. it's interesting because he, when he was young, he had to stay isolated, very much quarantined within the house because he was very immunocompromised. So he didn't have a lot of external contact. So we didn't have too much issue then. But when he started into school, regular brick and mortar, he was starting to experience some very heavy bullying and some not so nice things. And because he had trouble with the skills in the school, some of the lessons, he would cry because he didn't understand it. And then the kids would, make fun of him. It just was not a good situation. So the teachers tried to help him out, but the students just kind of took over his psyche. And so I just had to pull him out of there. That's the only time that I've really had any trouble with the community receiving him. But if you didn't know that he had an illness, like if you just met him today, you would not know that there's a problem. Like all his scarring is gone, it's all hidden under his hair now, and he speaks well, and he talks, and he reads, and so you wouldn't know it now, and so I don't really encounter too much of, too much trouble in our daily lives with him.
Okay. Then your community is great, because it's not mm-hmm. everyone who gets that support from the community.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So do you think those experiences that he went to has had an effect on him? Those bullying and all those things, do you think it affected his self-esteem and all those things?
Mm-hmm. I know it did. Because, it's hard to be the person who's trying to teach other people. I mean, my goal is to uplift other kids who need self-esteem. Reassurance and to build that self-esteem. And so to have a child at home that had lack of self-esteem was very difficult. And I'm still trying to rebuild everything that was torn down in the 1 year he was in school with those other children. I think he's much better than he was. In the beginning, he felt like he was, worthless. So after about 4 years now, he's getting to the point where he actually feels like he can accomplish the schoolwork. We still have days where he's like, I'm just stupid. And I'm like, I don't even want to hear that word because that's you're limiting yourself. And but most of the time he's starting to find his own inner strength to move on and move past it. The interesting thing to me is how much damage that short little exposure to negativity did to him. And so it helps me understand where older children who have lived through longer issues are dealing with it from the inside. I mean, self-esteem is really a core issue of not believing in yourself. So trying to find that is very difficult, and it's a long process. But I believe that I've been able to help a number of models who started out not thinking they could even model. And, a year later, they were out there modeling on a runway and, doing something that they never thought they would do a year previous. So I think his lack of self-esteem has taught me to be more sensitive to other people's lack of self-esteem. And we work on it daily together.
Okay. You see, a lot of times when parents are taking care of children with special needs, I don't know how to even put it. Some people don't like their children because they think I had two, they were normal. Why this last one? Some people even have thrown their children away.
Yeah.
So what was that pain inside you, which gave you the courage to take up him like it's my son? There's no way I'll do anything back to him. I'll take care of him. What was that thing?
I cannot relate to people who don't give their all to every child. So it was never a question of, are we going to do whatever we have to do to help him or whatever was in our power to help him. But I did have, my husband and I both had some very strong inner struggles about why, because I'm very spiritual. And so I had a lot of sort of tug and pull with God. Why did you do this to him when he's brand new? I mean, he did nothing in this world. So I had a lot of spiritual struggle in that way, trying to understand why the Lord would let something like that happen to such a tiny little child. But in the end, now that we're looking back at it, I see how much glory was in that situation. Everything from him being at the doctor at the right time to diagnose it, her sending him to the big to the main children's hospital to get further diagnosis, being in touch. His surgeon ended up being someone who had actually dealt with this rare condition twice previous in his career. So once they figured out what the problem was, he knew exactly what to do, and only five other doctors in the world had ever dealt with this. So the things that were happening, even though it was a very bad situation, God was putting those things in place so that he could survive it. But at the time, I couldn't see that, of course. I was just filled with, you know, sadness and guilt. What did I do wrong, you know, in my pregnancy or whatever? But now that things are good and I can look back with a clear mind, once again, I see where God was in all of that. And it's important to know that, you know, there's a stronger power out there that's taking care of all these things.
Okay. So this next question is going to sound kind of hard. Hope you don't mind.
No, that's okay.
Okay. So did you ever regret giving birth to him?
No, never. Nope. No. I had regret in that I thought I did something wrong during the pregnancy that I caused this for him. But I did not ever regret. No, absolutely not. There was a point when we weren't sure if he was going to, we knew he would survive, but he was so damaged in his brain that they weren't sure if he was going to be self-reliant at any point in his life. They were very sure that he would be in a vegetative state and have to have, you know, 100% care. So that point, I'd be remiss if I said I didn't, you know, kind of toss around, what did I do to this child? But it was never guilt or regret. It was, you know, I hope this child doesn't have to deal with this. In the end, I mean, he pulled through it. I mean, he's just a strength warrior and he got through it all. And now he's just a typical little kid with a few delays, and the brain has actually rewired. And he now can do a lot of the things that a typical child can do. And it's just, it's fascinating to me how things happened. And at the time he was only 10 weeks old, and I was very concerned about, is he going to, you know, 10 weeks? I mean, he's this big, you know, is he going to have a chance at this? Why didn't this happen when he was six or something? But the doctors kept telling us that if it had happened when he was six, he would not have survived it. And now, again, looking back on it, I see that the brain was young enough and malleable enough that it actually reset itself and learned how to learn. So even with, you know, some major brain damage, he still is, you know, just a happy little kid and moving forward.
Okay. So let's say there's someone listening right now, a parent who has a child with special needs. They feel they are down. They don't know what to do. What mm-hmm. would you tell that person to motivate that mm-hmm. person to get going?
First thing I would do is to, if you feel like you're totally at the end of rope and exasperated and that you just can't deal with another day like this, you need to remove yourself from the child in any way possible. Even if it's, you know, send a babysitter in or whatever, you need to have some time to calm yourself to get perspective. But if you're in a safe enough place that you're not, you know, going to harm the child or anything like that, then you need to find people you can talk to, you know, people who are in the same situation. I know Facebook was around at the time, but I wasn't really privy to Facebook. So if I had had that, I would definitely have gone to the groups and tried to, you know, talk to people and say, well, how did you get through this or whatever? So that's what I would say is go to the Facebook groups or go to your local mental health board and find help groups and just find like-minded people who are dealing with the same situations to help you, you know, get through it day to day, you know, and find the beauty in the moments too. You know, it's important to see the victories along the way and not just dwell on the things that are challenges.
Okay. So moving away from the parents, now let's come to the children. Let's say mm-hmm. someone also suffered what your son went through and he's also recovering now and he's able to isolate himself, like be self-reliant a little, but is going through stigma and all those things, and he's listening to this show right now, what would you tell that person? You know, because people who recover from such a very serious illness like this, when they recover and the stigma hits them very hard, it's easy for them to commit suicide. I believe you are aware of that.
Yes, yes, it is. The one thing that we did with Trent was that we never held his history away from him. He has known all along that something was different with him, so that he could deal with it all along. And he actually sees that as his strength now. That's his superhero. So if they have not had that build up all these years, then they need to understand that they've been chosen. That's the hardest part. There's a lot of regret and a lot of guilt in special needs, but they've actually been chosen as someone special. And they have a purpose on this earth that's more key than the typical person. So I would say that they need to find themselves some inner strength. And if that means being with people who love them, if that means being with like-minded people, if that means finding something they love to do just to keep them, find their happy place, and they're going to get through it. It's going to be okay. Everybody in this world is not the same, and everybody in this world is not as capable as everybody else. So, you know, we all get through it on our own levels. Even the one who's walking around looking perfect might have a mental disability. You know, even the one that's limping might have a physical disability that you don't even see, you know. So everybody's different and everybody has some challenges. So I would say just keep trying to move forward. You're going to be all right.
Okay. So now let's shift our attention from the special need to, let's come to you yourself. So you are a special mother. We underline the special because you are very superb. I've known you for only a few years, but from how you are speaking, I know that you're a very great mother. So you are that, you are a wife, and you are also an entrepreneur. How are you able to manage all these things together? Because if your self-esteem wasn't high, you wouldn't have been able to manage all these things. So how are you able to manage all these things?
Well, I was, I cannot sit around and sit still. It's just not in my nature. I'm a worker bee. I'm a career-minded person. And when I got to the point where I had to resign from my physical job, I mean, I used to work out of the house for all my life. Until my son got sick, and then I had to resign to come home with him. And for the first 3 years, it was important that he needed 100% care. And so I couldn't do anything else but care for him. But as he got better and got more self-reliant, then I found myself with time on my hands and I needed to keep busy. And that's where the magazine came in. With years and years of commercial photography behind me, and modeling and being in the fashion industry, it just made sense that my dream was always to be part of a magazine. I just thought I'd work for it. I didn't know I would own it. So really it came up because of an opportunity that I didn't have when I was 20. And so I wanted to provide the platform for other people who had this inspiration to get started or at least get their feet wet, you know. So that's where the magazine came in, and that's how I found my self-esteem. I mean, I've always been kind of, you know, I've never had lack of self-esteem, but definitely when I started to do something for somebody else on the platform of giving them sort of the first steps into their career and realizing a dream, that's when my self-esteem started really soaring. And that gives me the strength every day to do all these things, to make sure that, you know, the models have photo shoots lined up and to make sure that the runway shows are all set. And the reason is because it's important to give them the opportunity. And that has really, that same opportunity has made a huge difference in my own family, because my daughter went through some issues in middle school, like many people do. And her self-esteem dropped considerably, went from very, very, you know, self-motivated to very down on herself. And so modeling has been a way for her to pull herself out of her shell and to find her strength. Because if you can stand in front of a crowd and walk a runway, or if you can stand in front of the camera and really, really knock it out of the park, then I mean, that is, it's such a, it's such a pride builder knowing that you've done something really awesome, and it helps you to just kind of get past the physical abuse of everybody telling you that you're bad, and finding the inner strength to say, no, I'm not. I'm beautiful. I'm beautiful from the inside. So it doesn't matter what you say, I am strong. And the same thing has happened with my son, my special needs son. He has now begun modeling with us, and it's made a huge difference. He's gone from almost daily saying, you know, I can't do this. It's, you know, it's just, it's, that's not going to happen. I can't do it, to I'm going to give it a shot, which is way better than it was just, you know, 2 years ago. So that's where I find the strength to keep going. I'm very busy. I'm stressed sometimes because of deadlines, but being able to provide these kind of opportunities is what keeps me motivated. So that's how I juggle it. You know, I get through school. When school day is done, I move over to the next chair at my kitchen table and go to that computer and start working on the magazine and the business, and getting opportunities lined up for people who are interested in getting started.
So when you were speaking, you said that it's important to help the young models. Why do you help them? Because someone who went through what you went through would be like, no, I won't do that. I suffered a lot, so everyone should suffer. So why? Mm-hmm. Why do you give back to society?
I don't know. I mean, it's just the right thing to do. It's something that that is a God-given talent for me. I'm really good at commercial fashion photography. I love, you know, putting together creative photo shoots. I'm creative in my soul. And I mean, you know, it's somewhat selfish because it's actually giving myself an opportunity to have an artistic release. But in the same breath, I'm giving opportunity to people who might not have otherwise had opportunity, especially people who don't fall into the traditional model sense. I'm very focused on 100% inclusivity. I seek out differences to highlight and showcase how beautiful they are. So I work with all sizes and shapes, all genders, all ages. I have challenged models. I have LGBTQ models. It doesn't matter to me. Doesn't matter the age or the size. If it's something that you feel like you want to try, then I can make you a model. I'm not worried about that, but you have to have the gumption to give it a shot. And then it's going to be okay because I'm going to teach you how to do it. And, you know, modeling is really about self-esteem. So finding it is important. And I believe there's beauty in everybody, not just, you know, the 6 foot tall model. So I mean, I happen to be 6 foot tall, but that's why I modeled, you know, several decades ago, because I did fit that box that everybody wanted for a model. But it never made sense to me then why you had to be this, you know, this tall, this, you know, size. So now that I'm in control of what goes into our pages, I'm very focused on inclusivity for everybody, because there's beauty in everybody, no matter the color of the skin, no matter the size of the breast, no matter the age of the, you know, the man, it doesn't matter. There's beauty in every single human. So I go out of my way to try to bring that light out within everybody.
Okay, so if there's a young person listening right now, the person is interested in trying, mm-hmm. is giving modeling a shot, but the person has faced, like, his friends have criticized him or her. They are saying you are not good enough, you're not perfect, and it has brought the self-esteem down. What will you mm-hmm. tell that person to get them motivated? Mm-hmm.
I would tell them to just, they have to find the strength in themselves to get out there. If they don't even have enough self-esteem to get out there, then it's just going to be a dream for them. The interesting thing is that once they get out there and start pursuing their dream, that's when the self-esteem is going to start rolling. So I would just say, get out there and do it. You know, worst case happens is that it doesn't work. So you've tried it and it doesn't work. But if you find the right paths along the way, then it will work, because your self-esteem is going to grow every day with every step of success, every step towards success. So if you can muster enough self-esteem to even just submit to somebody, then you're going to be on the road to greatness that you don't even know is standing there for you. Like for us, we take models of all experience levels. I work with models who've never modeled before, don't even consider themselves models, you know, by the time I've done a photo shoot with them, they're models, you know. And then I work with models that are highly experienced. So it doesn't, we're all about networking and we're all about uplifting each other. We're about global networking and trying to increase the awareness for 100% inclusivity. So I would say there are avenues out there for you, no matter what. You just have to take that first step.
Okay, so I want your opinion on what recently happened in Minneapolis, the George Floyd case. I just want you to share your opinion on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have, I don't understand it because I don't understand racism. So I don't see color. I don't see height. I don't see any of that. I see what's inside the body. I look at who they are and, you know, what they bring to the table, and are they positive and are they good energy? That's what I'm concerned about. So it's hard for me. I'm glad that people are standing up for themselves because that's a self-esteem issue right there. But I also don't understand why this world is in a place still that they need to be standing up for themselves. I mean, it just should be. I don't understand why it isn't already. You know, I mean, equality should be equality. And I don't understand why in 2020 they still have to be fighting for equality. So it's really shameful that our society still is in this position. So, I mean, I'm 100% for what's going on as far as standing up for equality in every way. So, you know, we even in our next issue that comes out next week, actually, on the 22nd, we've done a page on the protests, and we did a blackout page. So we're supporting in the ways that we can. And we are definitely standing with protesters on this. I believe we should already be there, and I can't believe we're not there yet.
Okay, so you made it clear that your son also started modeling. Mm-hmm. So how is he relating with other people? Because modeling is all about networking. How is he able to network and relate with other people?
Well, for when he first started, he was very, oh, I'll do this, I can't do this, you know. But now he's been doing it about 3 years. And now he looks for every photo shoot he can get his hands on. He finds it to be his happy place. It's sort of, I would liken it to somebody who is really good at sports. Okay, maybe somebody who's really good at soccer. And, you know, being on the soccer field makes them happy. You know, it's their happy place. That's the way modeling has become for my son. It's the one place where people don't judge him. And at least on my sets. I mean, obviously there are sets out there that people will judge them because they're very specific about what a model should look like. But for my sets and the people that I work with and networking that I work with, they don't judge them. They're looking for the beauty inside, not the beauty outside. And so it's turned him around into a very, he's very confident in front of the camera. He's got more confidence in front of the camera than he does, you know, doing schoolwork. So I try to put him in front of the camera often just to help self-esteem and that positivity be natural for him, trying to make it a habit, you know, instead of it being a habit of I'm stupid and I can't do it, trying to make the habit of you can do it, I'm good, I'm great, look at how cool this photo is. So that's what I think, that's what it comes down to, is breaking the habit of you know, putting yourself down and ignoring those who do put you down, because you're stronger than that and you're more beautiful than that.
Okay, so you said your older children, now they are grown-ups, they're able to go to college and all those things. So how are they supporting their little brother? In what ways are they also supporting him?
Well, when he was sick, they were so incredible. I mean, they were young, obviously. They were like 8 and 6, I think. But once he was sent to the hospital, I did not leave the hospital until he was released from the hospital. And so my parents, thankfully, were still around. And they went to live with my parents for the whole time I was in the hospital. And they were so, I mean, of course they missed me and they were a little resentful that I wasn't there and I was spending all this time with my youngest, but they also were completely understanding of why I wasn't with them. And so once we did come home from the hospital, my husband and I made a specific point to take them out to a day just for them. And we took them to Kings Island, which is a big amusement park around here. And we just thanked them for understanding and letting us, you know, help his brother, their brother, get better. And along the way, they've learned how to handle the medical situations, because for many years he had, he had to take IV. So he had a PICC line, actually Brobiac line. And so my daughter learned how to take care of the dressings and all that kind of stuff. She helped me do that. And my son helped us along the way by helping with education. When my son was really good at math, and so when my youngest struggles with math, my oldest will come in and help us. So they all help in their own way, but they're all like peas in a pot. I mean, they love each other and they protect each other, and we're just very blessed that they've come along so well with it and been so understanding, because Trent has required more of my time than, you know, others have. So I appreciate that they've been so, you know, flexible with us.
Okay. So what will you tell a family, a family that they are divided as a result of, let's say, a special need child in the family, like they are separated because they don't think they will be able to take care of that child and all those things. So what will you tell that particular family?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing I would say, I mean, I'm no psychologist. I never went through it. But I think the first and most important thing is to not let the child, the challenged child, the special needs child, know that there's this dissension happening within the family, because he's already going to know that he's the reason. And so the last thing that he needs to, or she needs to deal with, is knowing that they're tearing the family apart. It's sort of like a divorce, you know, the child becomes a scapegoat even though they had nothing to do with it. So that's the first thing I would say. If there's fighting amongst themselves, they need to keep that away from the child who has special needs. And when each one of them is with the child, don't let the child know that there's upset in the family. You know, the family can figure it out on their own. They don't need to involve the child. It's important that, I mean, they got to focus on getting better if they can, you know, or learning how to handle and cope with life. You know, their challenges are tenfold compared to a typical, and they just, you just need to help them, not interfere with it.
Okay. So finally, I want you to give us your final words of encouragement or motivation, your final words.
My final words would be, you have to know that you have beauty inside of you. You have to know you have strength inside of you, and you have to know that you can do whatever you put your mind to. So if you don't already know that about yourself, then the first order of business is to find ways to discover that about yourself and to reinforce that. That's what modeling is doing for a lot of my clients and a lot of the people who are in the magazine and on my runways. It's reinforcing that they're beautiful no matter what they look like, no matter what their challenges are. And so you keep coming back to that. You want to be happy. You want to feel good. And when you find something that makes you feel good and strong, then you need to keep on to that. That's going to build your confidence. And you're going to end up doing whatever it is you wanted to do in the first place. The things that you thought you would never do, you'll be doing before you even know it. So don't give up. Keep going and keep pushing, and know that you have the strength and the beauty to do whatever you want to do.
Okay. So if someone is listening to this right now and they want to get in touch with you, where can they find you? Or where can they reach you?
Yes. So we have a website. It's called hoteohio.com. That's hoteohio.com. That's going to have all of the information on submissions. If you want to try to submit to us, we take open submissions. So if you want to try to model, or if you're a young designer, we can, you know, we'll take a look at your work. Just send it to us. And those links are on the website. All opportunities are there. If you're interested in subscribing to the magazine, it is digital online. It's a quarterly publication, or you can order for a print and ship directly to your door. All those things can happen on hoteohio.com. That includes Ohio Fashion Week and Discovered Model. And social media, you can follow us there on Facebook at Hote Ohio, and Ohio Fashion Week. And then on Instagram and on Twitter, it's OHFW_official.
Okay. So, Jackie, I want to thank you very much for making time out of your busy schedule. I'm really, really grateful. And I hope I didn't waste the time for no reason.
No, not at all. It's been wonderful.
Okay. So I wish you all the best. And we'll stay in touch.
Thank you so much, Gabriel. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.